Please turn with me now in the Word of God to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, and reading verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, reading verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And our title this morning is Death's Dictatorship. This is a prominent theme we see running in these verses, these two verses. Now, according to the Bible, according to the teaching of the Word of God, behind the facade, behind our bravado and indifference, there is a fear of death, which is placed in the heart of humanity. In every human being, there is an inherent fear of death. We fear death, and it's God's purpose that this should be the case. It is God's design that we should all have a fear of death. And it's intended because it leaves with us a message. There is a message in this fear, and that is life is short, and we should prepare for the day of death. This is the message that comes with this fear, a message attached to it. Now, it's true that this fear is not immediate. We don't think about death. In fact, we try to avoid it at all costs. There are many controversial topics that we discuss or we like to discuss, but death is a topic no one likes to discuss. It's the most controversial topic. We bury it deep in the recesses of our subconscious. We don't like to think about these things. But every once in a while, it reminds us that it's there. Death reminds us that it's there. It's waiting for us. It can remind us through many circumstances in life, illnesses, a near-death experience, the loss of a loved one. Death will remind us that it's there. Or the difficulties or troubles in life, and we get shaken up by various things that happen to us. And it reminds us that it's waiting for us. Well, without the Savior, without the Lord Jesus Christ, who has removed the sting of death, according to what the Scriptures teach elsewhere. I'm thinking particularly of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Lord Jesus Christ has removed the sting of death for those who put their trust in Him. Well, without this, without the Savior in my life, without His forgiving love in my life, well, this topic of death is a very unsettling topic. It's a very unsettling reality, if I'm honest with myself. And therefore, I naturally remove it from my thinking. I never think about it. And you may say to me this morning, well, preacher, actually, death does not trouble me. It's something that does not trouble me at all. Well, it's probably because you haven't given it due consideration. You haven't really thought about it. You haven't really thought about the day of death, the day of your death. And that's the reason why people think that they don't fear death. But it doesn't mean that that fear isn't there, because according to what the Scriptures teach in this particular verse, before we're converted, before we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that fear. That fear is there under the surface. It's, for example, I may not be bothered about the fact that there are poisonous snakes in some countries in the world, Australia and these other countries where there are these really poisonous snakes. But if one crossed my path, the fear of poisonous snakes would be very apparent. And it's the same with death, but the real sober reality is this, is that, well, most of us won't have to approach a poisonous snake in our lifetime, most of us, I imagine. But death is inevitable for each and every one of us, and it's far more terrifying than a poisonous snake. So these things are so important. It's a fear that's not unwarranted. If I do not have the Savior in my life, if the sting of death has not been removed for me, I have every reason to fear. In the scriptures, in the book of Job, it is called the king of terrors. And it is. It is the king of terrors. It is the worst thing. It is the worst fear. But the problem is that people handle this fear. It's like I've said, it's not unwarranted. It's a legitimate fear. We have every reason to fear death. But people handle this fear in the wrong way. Most of us handle this fear in a disastrous way. And that is, we just avoid it. We just pretend it's not there. We just do not think about this topic. We become indifferent to it. But you know, death will catch up with us. It will catch up with us, and it will be far more worse than we imagine. I've got this book on my bookshelf at home. It's called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, and it's a very informing book to read. The title, that's what the book's about. The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, famous Christians and famous unbelievers. And you read some of the last words of those who do not know the Lord, and those even who have spent their have decided to commit their life to destroying the Christianity, and their last words are terrifying. And you feel for them. They cry out for a child to come near them, a young child, so they could. They sense that, well, if I have a young child next to me to hold my hand, then I'll feel better. But they're dying and they're petrified. Well, and before that day, they're proud, they're blaspheming the Lord. Well, it's not just for atheists, for people who do not have Christ in their lives. It's a real threat. It's something we need to fear. So the important issue is, how do we handle this fear? It's legitimate fear. How do we handle it? The wrong way is to ignore it, is to be indifferent to it, to pretend it's not there. It is there. And we need to stare it in the face. We need to think about it. I need to think about the day of my death. And if I do so, naturally this fear will rise to the surface. And that's a good thing. According to what the scriptures teach, it's a good thing that I think about it. And it's a good thing that I fear death. Because in Ecclesiastes, for example, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, we read, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." We need to think about these things. We need to stop and think about these solemn issues. The day of death, I will die one day. Where is my life going now? And if I were to die soon, you can't assume that you will die in old age, friend. You can't assume that. We don't know the day of our death. Death, God alone knows when we will die. For example, at the church I attend recently, we have many classes for the young people, for the Sunday school children and older children, teenagers. And one of the teenagers, who was only 13 years old, he died in his sleep. And there's no explanation why, what happened. He just died in his sleep one day. The funeral was last Saturday. So no one knows when they will die. This is something only God knows. He knows, and it's an appointment that you cannot miss. You can avoid many things in life. You can even avoid a court order. You can somehow maybe go to another country or something, and you can avoid it. But you cannot avoid that appointment of death. You can't avoid it. It's there waiting for you. So these things are important to reflect upon. It's important for us to think about these things. Where is life going? And the realization that really, without Christ, I'm not prepared for death. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, without his forgiving love, I'm not prepared. Because God's standard for entrance into heaven is perfect obedience. And that's not the case with any of us. We need the forgiving love of Christ washing over our souls. Without this, there is no hope for us. So when I'm in this frame of mind, and it's helpful for us to be in this frame of mind, then the hope of the gospel, well, it comes to life in my thinking. And this hope, the hope of the gospel, it transcends beyond the grave. It's a wonderful reality. So the right way to handle this fear of death, and we have it, we all have it. For Christians, the fear of death has subsided greatly. If a Christian dies, well, he may fear what will happen to his family, or You may fear, what about this person? What about people who don't know the Lord? I can't witness to them any. But they don't really fear death itself, because death for the Christian is a gateway to glory, is the gateway to Christ, the Savior. But those who do not know the Lord, though they may think they do not fear death, well, the reality is, according to the Scriptures, what the Scriptures teach and what this verse teaches, we do fear death before we come to Christ, and the fear is great. So we need to investigate these issues. What will happen in the afterlife? Do you ever pause and ask the big questions of life? What will happen when I die? If I die tomorrow, if I die next week, is my soul safe? Will I be with Christ? It's so important to ask these big questions, but we don't. We avoid these big questions at all costs, because then the fear of the death comes to the surface, and it's a profoundly uncomfortable topic for those who do not know Christ, who have not yet sought his forgiving love. So approaching our fear, and when we approach our fear, when we approach the fear of death, then immediately the gospel becomes alive in our thinking, and that's so important to understand. But the alternative to not embracing our fear and investigating the gospel is perilous. By simply ignoring death is perilous, because if that's the case, if you are a person this morning who never thinks about these issues, as soon as you leave the church doors, these issues just switch off in your mind, and you don't think about death, and you don't think about these solemn realities, then actually, according to this verse, according to verse 15, you are under the bondage, the dictatorship of death. Death has a power over you, and you don't realize it. This is what verse 15 teaches. You're under death's dictatorship, and this is really a sad reality. Look at verse 15. Well, actually, it's right for me to read the latter half of verse 14 to bring out the full sense. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, his mission of love, that through death, his death on the cross, he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That is a profound statement. It really is profound. Before conversion, we are under the power, the stronghold of death, the fear of death. We're under its bondage. We obey its demands. What is the demands of this, of death, its philosophy? Well, it's this: eat, drink, for tomorrow you will die. And we do as we're told. We do this. If I'm not a Christian, this is my philosophy for life. This is my reasoning. This is how I think. So how I think about death, how I perceive death, what I believe about death, will dictate how I live my life. This is what this verse is essentially saying. So if I put off death, if I don't think about it, if I don't consider it, if I don't prepare for death, if I don't think about the day of judgment and I don't prepare for it, well, inevitably, this will just cause me to live for this world solely. There's no other choice. There's no other alternative. The fear of death forces me to live in a materialistic cage. I just live for the here and now, things I can touch and smell and see. That's all that is to life for the person who does not have Christ. Death forces you down, and your life has a very low ceiling as a result of being under the fear of death. All you can do is appreciate and enjoy things under the sun. And that's it. That's it. That's my life without Christ. There's nothing. There's no hope beyond the grave. There's no prospect of knowing Christ. There's no glorious reality beyond the grave. All these things are cut off from you if you're under the fear of death. You're forced down into a life, well, of mere just materialism. And it's very sad. And it's also a very superficial life. It's a very superficial life, being under the fear of death. Because, well, my joys, my ambitions, the things I have planned in my life, these things can actually be taken away quite easily with death's intrusive behavior. And death does intrude into our lives. Death takes on different forms. In what way does death intrude into our lives? In what way is it intrusive?
Well, let me read verse 14. The answer is given in verse 14 in a indirect way, I must admit, but the answer's there. For as much then as the children are partakers, those who will be saved, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. Now I have to ask another question here. It says in this verse that Satan has power of death. In what sense does Satan have power of death? In what way does the devil have power over death? Not in the sense that he can determine when people die. That alone belongs to God. He alone decides when people will die, the day of their death. Satan does not have that power. The authority alone belongs to God. But it was Satan's strategy that brought about death into this world in the first place. His strategy in the Garden of Eden that brought about this death, the curse of death as a result of our sin. And now Satan and his hosts are doing everything in their power to perpetuate our rebellion and sin against our Creator. Because Satan knows very well that our sin fuels the death's rampage, death's destructive work. Because according to Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. So sin and death are partners in crime. And so in that sense, death enters our lives. It intrudes our lives very often through the consequences of sin. Our quest for fulfillment, my quest of living for this world, my plans and ambitions, and they may be noble, they may be good. I'm not saying that we deliberately rebel against God and we deliberately do things that are evil. But if my life, if my joys and ambitions and hopes and plans are just merely for this world, well, you're under the bondage, you're under the subjection, you're under the power of death. And my quest for fulfillment and happiness and purpose, well, these things become very fragile. And of course they become fragile because this world is full of uncertainties. Because of the fact that this world has been cursed by sin, death is operating in this world in many different forms. Sicknesses, diseases, all manner of things. The consequences of sin are everywhere before us. And because of these uncertainties, because of life is strewn with uncertainties, well, people actually live in denial. Many people without Christ are actually living in denial. I see all these alarming things, and there are many alarming things in the world at the moment, where we could be, I don't know, we could be on the brink of World War III with all these nuclear weapons and these nations planning these things. We could be on the brink of World War III. And in recent years, we've seen the potential of these super viruses. There's many troubling things in the world, financial meltdown in many nations, the stress of nations, as the Lord Jesus Christ prophesies in Luke chapter 21, the distress of nations with perplexity. And we look around and we're troubled by these things and we see these things and troubles come in and out of our own lives. Well, if I'm under the dictatorship of death, if death has a power over me, then how do I respond to these troubles? How do I react to these troubles? In the following way, I will preoccupy myself with so many things that are on offer in this world, so many distractions. I'll become a moviegoer. I'll be someone who socializes all the time, have fun on the weekend. I'm not saying these things, well, some of these things, not many of these things are legitimate and good, but if this is all I do, if this is what I live for, really I'm in denial. Really I'm denying the reality of life because all these alarming things in the world and some of the troubles that come into my life bear witness that this life is going to end soon. And I'm going to have to give an account. Are you preparing for death, friend? Have you stared this topic in the face? Have you thought about these things? Is your soul safe? Or are you living in denial? You're just putting the day off and you're preoccupied with the millions of distractions in this world. And Satan makes sure that we're distracted to the grave. Oh, how we need to lay these things to heart. I do these things to calm my nerves. The music, the entertainment, the socializing, all these things I do just to calm my nerves, But really, it's, friends, it's denial. We need to face up to the fact that one day we will stand before the Lord in judgment and we'll have to give an account for the way we've lived. Well, unfortunately, as time progresses and the aging process takes this toll, living under the dictatorship of death just gets worse. Well, as we draw to conclusion, friend, it doesn't have to be this way. If this is the case with you, if you do, well, the Bible teaches that we fear death if we don't know the Lord. And if this is the case with you, if you avoid this topic, if you don't think about death, actually, honestly, I think about death quite regularly because I've had at least 3 near-death experiences in my lifetime. So, and I feel like I'm living on borrowed time. It's strange, but that's how I think. But I'm not. I don't fear death. The greatest fear I have is what will happen to my family. But I trust the Lord. If that happens, then the Lord will look after my family. But I don't fear death, and I can say that honestly. And Christians, those who love the Lord, they can say it as well. They can say it honestly. I don't fear death. I long to be with Christ. I long to see my Savior, my blessed Savior, who loved me with a love that I can't even begin to imagine. Friend, is that the case with you? Is it well with your soul? These things are so important to consider, more important than anything else. Well, like I said, it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to be under this dictatorship. And, you know, these 2 verses, you see here God's wonderful rescue plan to deliver us from the fear of death. And the fear of death is legitimate because it's the second death that we fear. What happens after we physically die? Look at verses 14 and 15 again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Well, the good news is, and you know this, I'm sure, that this fear of death can be legitimately taken away. At the present time, you may not fear death, and this imagined thinking that you don't fear death, well, it's illegitimate, because deep down you do fear death. It's like a dormant volcano. I don't fear death. But when death approaches one day, that volcano will erupt and the fear will be great. It doesn't have to be that way, friends. You don't have to be under this death dictatorship. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to take away the sting of death. It's the only way the death can be legitimately taken away from us. He came into this world and he lived a perfect life of obedience. And that had to be the requirement, because the violation of God's holy law is death. And so Christ, one of the members of the Godhead, had to leave. This is the only way. No created being could do it. Only the Creator himself. It was planned before the world began. God had foreseen the fall of man, and so it was planned, we're told in Scripture, before the world was even created, that the second member of the Godhead should leave his throne in glory. He should be a representative for us. He should be the perfect man and live a perfect life on behalf of all those who put their trust in him. And then he went to that cross and he paid the penalty of our sin, the breaking of God's laws. And the moment we put our trust in Christ, the fear of death is gone. We have that perfect righteousness clad in. We have the robe, we have that perfect robe of righteousness clothed over us. God the Father looks upon us as if we've never committed a sin. He sees us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's laws have been perfectly kept through him, and we are in him. We flee to him for refuge. You think on that cross, the agony, the pain, the everlasting torment, miraculously compressed, squeezed into 6 hours. What he was willing to go through for unworthy rebels is like you and me. Oh, my friend, you must see yourself as a rebel. And perhaps the devil, and he did it to me years ago, perhaps the devil has convinced you that you're not a bad person. Well, I'm not a bad person, really. I mean, I'm not like many people I know. Don't compare yourself with other people. Don't do that, friend. That's dangerous. Look at God's standards. His standards are perfection. One white lie will send you to hell. If all I ever do is commit one white lie, that's enough to send me into the everlasting lake of fire. Friend, these things are serious. We need Christ. We need him desperately. And that's why he came on that rescue plan of love. And by doing so, he removed the sting of death for all those who put their trust in him. One last illustration before I close. It's kind of, I'm watching this wildlife documentary, and you see the adult meerkat, and he disarms the scorpion sting, and then the baby meerkat can go and eat it or attack it. And that's what Christ did for us. He disarmed death. He disarmed death of all its power, so that Christians no longer fear it. They look forward to it. Not death, not the physical part, but they don't fear death anymore. They know that they will be with Christ immediately. Precious is the death of his saints, where we read in Psalm 116, Christ sees the death of his saints as precious. He rises from his throne, ready to meet every single believer. It's a wonderful thing. So seek the Lord. Seek the Lord today, dear friend, and everything will change. You'll be set free from the cage of materialism, and by faith you'll see the celestial city on the horizon. You'll see it by faith. A glorious future to look forward to, which transcends beyond this life. And in this life, you will be blessed. You'll be guided by the Lord. You'll go through troubles like everyone else, but you'll know the Lord's help, his power. You'll know his love, which is better than life itself. So here in these verses, here is Christ's appeal to rescue us from the fear, from the bondage, from the real reality of death and the second death. And those who are rescued, and I pray, my friend, if you do not know Christ, that this may be the case for you, this may be your testimony, that you may come to him, and that you may be able to say, with all the sons and daughters of God, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? May that be the case with each and every one of us. Amen. Let's close our worship singing our last hymn number 537. Hymn number 537. God made me for himself to serve him here.